This morning, our devotional comes from four or five different books here, so the lesson's entitled, What is a Man? But the first one comes from Psalms chapter 8, verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man, and thou visiteth him? And the next one is in Psalms 144 and 3. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Then from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 6, 11 and 12, seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? For who knoweth what is good for a man in this life, all the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? And then from the book of Hebrews 2 and verse 6, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visiteth him? And then the last comes from the book of James, chapter 4 and 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanished away. Are there any announcements before we go to class? If not, let's go to Sunday school.
As Jimmy said a few minutes ago, the title of our lesson is, What is Man? And our lesson text comes from the book of Job, chapter 14, verses 1 through 10. Verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him, that he may rest, till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth, and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? So, of course, you know the story of Job, how that God lifted up the hedge and allowed Satan to take everything from him except his life and his salvation. And his wife also was with him throughout all this. Yet his children and his servants, his livestock was taken from him, and his health as well. And Job's four friends come to him, and they're discussing over a period of time why these things are coming to pass upon him, and they put forth their thoughts and various words that they have to say that don't really help Job out any at all. And this that I just read is some of Job's reply to these men. And as I studied it and I thought about it, this reply here that he has given is focused upon the natural man, the body, not necessarily the spiritual man. Because he says here in the first verse, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And that is true. Our natural bodies, even if we live to be a ripe old age, throughout our life we come into trouble. We get sick, whether it's just a head cold or something more serious such as cancer. Our bodies are frail and we have a lot of trouble with them. You know, We have to be careful. If we get into an accident, we'll break a bone. We'll suffer. And so the more you think about this, the more true it becomes in your mind that man, our days are short and full of trouble. A lot of heartache in this life, in the natural sense of things. Now that heartache is brought because of sin, and I didn't really intend to get into that, but I will for just a little bit. All the problems that we have in our life are a direct result of sin. Because when Adam and Eve were originally placed in the garden, they didn't have these problems. They didn't have sickness. They didn't have, I don't believe they had accidents. I believe everything was good. The Bible says they walked in the garden and they could talk with God. So, but then, of course, Adam transgressed and allowed sin to come in, and that's when these troubles began to occur. And he goes on in the second verse and he says, "He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." Now that's just stating the shortness of life. Whether, as I said, we live to be a ripe old age, or, and it's been said in the past, you can go to a cemetery and you can look at the time spans, the lifespans of the people buried there. Some of them may have lived 100 years, but you'll also find children buried there, newborn infants buried there. There is no guarantee about the number of days that we have to spend. And Job here is saying, you know, it's like you see the flowers come up. They'll come up, they'll be around for a few days, maybe a week, then they're gone. And then a little while after that, the rest of the plant is gone. And he's just using that as an illustration of the seasons that we go through. We're born into this world, we're infants, we're babies, we're children, teenagers, young adults, middle-aged adults, elderly adults, and then we're gone. And that's his point, I believe, here. And then he says, "And continueth not." Again, he's speaking about the natural man. And our lesson today is, what is man? So he's carrying on here about the natural man, the start of things here. This body's not going to be around. It's going back to the dust that it came from. Job, in our lesson today, doesn't get into the spiritual man, and I'm going to just a little bit, but not very much. But I want you to understand that we are concentrating on man as a natural man. And then he goes on to say in the third verse, now remember, his friends are here, and they have, from what I can read and gather, they have mostly said that Job's problems are because of Job's sin, that Job has done something and God's angry and God's taking his vengeance on Job. And Job's reply here is, in the third verse, "And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one, and bringest me into judgment with thee?" So he's, to paraphrase there, he's saying, well, you're no better than me. You're not living any better. You have sin in your life. So why are you saying that that's what's going on with me? And he goes on to say, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one." All men fall short. All men are sinners. They come short of the glory of God, is what he's saying. Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." And that's in Romans, that's a quote from Psalms. I don't remember which Psalms that was. I looked it up earlier, but I didn't write it down, so might as well have not looked it up. But anyway, that is in the New Testament, quoting the Old Testament, "There is none righteous." And that's essentially what Job is saying. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Man can't cleanse himself. Man has no cure for the sickness of sin that is within him. And that's Job's point there. As a natural man, we're pretty well hopeless and helpless. Going on in the fifth verse, he says, "Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee," that is with God, "thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." We have a set number of days on this earth. Now, it's my opinion that, and this is an opinion, that our time can be shortened. We can do things to cause our death to come early, but it can't be lengthened. There's a time when no matter what I do, my life will be over. I believe God has that appointed time set already. Again, this is my opinion, and I think that's what he's referring to here, that his days are determined, the number of months are with thee. God has that in his plan. He knows when my time will be up, and that's a set appointment that I have to make with him. And he goes on here to speak in turn from him, that he may rest till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. I'm going to put forth a thought and an opinion here that it is God has a work for me to do, and that's what it's referring to here, that the work that I have to accomplish upon this earth. I'm not 100% sure about that. I kind of struggle with it, trying to interpret exactly what he's saying here. But as best I can tell, he's referencing we have things to do, and we need to be going about those things, getting those things done. I'm speaking to you as saved people, and myself as a saved individual, a spiritual work that needs to be done. And he goes on here to speak about a tree that be cut down, that it will sprout again, that the tender branch thereof will not cease. I don't know, probably most of you men here have cut trees down and had them sprout back. It's very, very difficult to kill a tree. I've got one right now that I cut down, and I keep spraying stuff on it, and I want it to just go away because it's right at the edge of the drive and it doesn't need to be there, but it's tough. It keeps on coming back. And it's not something the seeds could do. And it goes on here, he says, though the root thereof wax old in the earth and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud. If it gets a little bit of water, that tree stump will come back. I mean, that's just the way it is. And it'll bring forth boughs like a plant. But then he goes on and says, but man dieth and wasteth away. That's not going to be the case when I die. When I'm buried, it doesn't matter how much it rains or how much water. I'm not going to sprout forth and come back as a natural man. And that's what primarily I believe Job is speaking of here, is the natural body. But a man dieth and wasteth away. Man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? He's in the grave, and it's over with for this body at that point. It's not, this body isn't coming back. Now, that's where our lesson left off, but I didn't really want to leave it there, because it's a little bit depressing. It's very depressing to think of life only in the natural sense, only in the carnal flesh that we have, that these things are going to happen. He didn't really bring out anything much about the soul. At least I didn't get anything about it. But we go on into the 14th verse, and he says, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. There's going to be a change. This body's not coming back, but there is a body. I'll have a new body, and I'll have a new life, because I'm saved. Then shall thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. He's speaking of God. God's going to call him from the grave. Now, Job died thousands of years ago. He's buried somewhere and has been buried, and he doesn't have his body. But he says, thou shalt call and I will answer. That's still going to come to pass. That hasn't happened yet, but it will. Job knew it would, and that's why he said these things, that God's going to have a desire. Now, Job's spirit, his soul, has gone on and he's in heaven. I believe that. I believe Job was a saved man from the things that I've read, and that he's in heaven, but he hasn't been united with his body yet. He's waiting for that, and that's what he's speaking of there here in the 15th verse. And in the 16th verse, for now thou numberest my steps, dost thou not watch over my sin? Job realized that his days were numbered. He spoke about that. He knew he was coming to an end. He knew that these trials and tribulations that he was going through, this trouble that he was experiencing, was a temporary thing, and that it would be over, and his body would go to the grave, and it would rest there until the time when God declared the time shall be no more, and then he would be resurrected in a new body. I believe Job understood that, and that's what he's talking about there. He's comparing the natural things, and it's kind of depressing. I didn't want to end it on there, but Job understood that it was depressing. It was a sad thing to only depend upon this life, only depend upon the carnal, the fleshly thing. And I believe his point, and you go on and you read through the rest of this chapter, his answer to these people is, there's more to life than this. There's more to life than this carnal flesh that was suffering here before these men and before everyone. There was a life to come, and Job was looking forward to that. Job was thinking forward ahead to that because there wasn't, at this point, there wasn't any pleasure, I don't think, in Job's life. He had a lot of trouble, full of trouble, he says here. My thought to you would be, we haven't been called upon by God to give up everything. We haven't lost all of our material possessions here. Now, Job's salvation was secure. Job's soul, it was sealed up. And in fact, his life was secure, his physical life, because God told Satan, don't touch his life. You can touch his health, you can make him sick, but you can't have his life. God watched over Job and took care of him through that. And I'm convinced that he does the same thing for us today. I have absolutely no doubt that he has sealed up our salvation, that that's not in jeopardy in any form or fashion, no matter what I do, no matter what Satan does, no matter what the world does. God has got my salvation, and he's holding on to that for me. Everything else isn't really that important. Now, it's important. I mean, don't get me wrong, but in the balance of everything else in my soul, my soul is much more important. But not just my soul, but the souls of everyone, everybody that's around us is important. These trials and tribulations, these troubles and heartaches that Job experienced, he understood that while it was painful and it brought him down, I believe it really did, but he understood that it wasn't the big picture there. The big picture was what was to come thereafter. And I think that if we get anything from our lesson today, is we ought to be focused on that. What's to come hereafter? You know, for us, things are only looking up. The closer we get to the end of our lives, we're gonna go on, and we're gonna be in heaven with the Lord. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be glorious. We're going to be celebrating all these problems that we experience here upon life, in this life. They're going to go away. But while we're here in this life, we need to be thinking about and concentrating on the work that he has for us to do, the ones that are around us. And I believe y'all are doing that. I think that you're concerned about the lost. You want to see the lost saved. You want to see people back into our church. So, as usual, a lot of this lesson today needs to be heard by the ones that aren't here, you know. But it doesn't hurt us to hear it. It doesn't hurt us to think about this and to try to carry it through the week, to be concerned with not so much this life, but what's coming hereafter, you know. To be thankful to God for what he has in store for me, but to be concerned for the lost about what's in store for them. You know, they're going to be resurrected also. They're going to get another body. But it won't be the body that I'll get and the body that Job's going to get. The Bible says it'll be a corrupt body. Not sure exactly what that means, but corrupt is not good. It's not going to be something that's pleasant. It's not going to be something to be desired. That's about everything that I've got. Kind of a short lesson today, but it was a... For me, it was interesting to think about, you know, all these years ago, as long as it's been since Job walked upon the earth and went through these troubles, really not a whole lot's changed. We're still going through troubles today. We're still trudging along, faced with heartache from a natural standpoint, and trials and tribulations from a natural standpoint, and we still have the hope of eternal life to look forward to, those of us that are saved. I wonder about Job's friends. I don't know if they were saved or not. Some of the things they said make me think they were, but you know, you just don't know. I don't have an answer to that. Does anybody have any thoughts? Any comments? I appreciate y'all.
I enjoyed the lesson. The lesson. I reread the last verse. It says, man gives up the ghost for reason.
Yeah.
We all be concerned, and I think we are. Not as much as I should be, but everybody that lives in this world, when they die, where are they? Where are they going to be?
They will be. And the Bible says, I think it's in Ecclesiastes, wherever the tree falls, that's where it lies. Well, my understanding is that's a reference to whatever state man is when he dies, that's where he's going to be. If he's lost, he's going to be lost. If he's saved, he'll be saved. Just as
what percentage of the people are going to be in the worst condition, they won't be saved. That brings the responsibility on us to see that the gospel is out.
Thank you.
I would say, you shall bury.
What's that?
That don't say, you shall find a way therein.
Mm-hmm. It does.
So even with all the errors we put forward, the number still going to be with you in comparison.
It is. It's going to be a few in comparison, but then it says there'll be a number that no man can number. So there's going to be a lot of saved people. But only a few in comparison that aren't saved.
A man came up to us last week after service at Martinsburg and told us. We talked to him a little bit, told him he'd been saved. His wife had been praying for him for years, and he was raised Catholic. But he finally found his way and got saved and joined up there, and I thought that was pretty awesome. That's hard to fight for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something embedded in somebody's head from the time that they're born, and this is right, this is the way. It's hard to give them a chance.
Right.
And they're really strong about their stuff as we do
out. Maybe stronger sometimes. I mean,
yeah.
Some of the other religions seem to do a very good job of teaching their young and their people. I mean, they drill it into them. They're dedicated.
Yeah.
You know, they really are. And like you said, this is hard to overcome that. God can. I can. God can. And, you know, God knows who can be reached and who can't. I think that's what it's referencing to about casting your pearls before swine. God knows who you need to talk to. I don't, but God knows. So. If there's nothing else, let's remember the prayer request that's been made. And remember Brother Maggard, love us all. Jimmy, would you dismiss us?
Father, thank you for this day. Blessings.